Well, good morning, happy new year, and welcome to another series in our ongoing investigation into the unknown that we call Perspectives on WFSU-FM. I'm Tom Flanagan. Thanks so much for tuning in, and you are always invited to participate via phone and email. 414-1234 is the local phone number, 800-926-8809. If it's long distance and if you would prefer an email contact, you can do that through perspectives@wfsu.org. Okay, boys and girls, sit down, hands folded, right there on your desk. That's Billy, stop it. Now, be quiet, all of you. Let's get ready to learn. All right, has anyone been through that kind of a regimen at school? I bet you have. I know I did when I was growing up. Of course, I had nuns, and they were all, I think, given their basic instruction at Paris Island. They were able to exact incredible amounts of discipline with just a withering glance. And sometimes up would come the dreaded yardstick to make sure that there was an enforcement there. But that's what we were supposed to do, was to sit down and shut up, hands folded, and then concentrate on learning. But is that really the best way to learn? Perhaps the worst possible environment for learning. And would kids learn more if they could move more? There seems to be some serious research indicating that that is exactly the case, and more of that research is to come. This morning on Perspectives, we'll explore the idea. It's called kinetic learning. In the studio with us, Florida State University's Dr. Frances Pravat. She's a professor in the Department of Educational Psychology and executive director of the Adult Learning Evaluation Center. That's a psychoeducational clinic at FSU. It specializes in college students with ADHD and learning disabilities, and her writings include the book Succeeding with Adult ADHD. That is available on Amazon.com if you want to check that out. Doctor, great to have you.
Good morning. It's great to be here.
And right next door to her sitting is, we've got to get him moving here too, I guess, huh? In keeping with the whole idea behind the show. Mike Higgins, his project is the Kinetic Learning Academy at the Coral Springs Charter School. That's in Coral Springs, Florida, which is a northern suburb of Fort Lauderdale. He and Dr. Pravat are conducting a study at the Academy starting this month. We want to talk all about that. Mike, good to have you here.
Good morning.
And also, thank you to Sister Trish Higgins-Krowski, who's sitting in there. She helped get this all together. Now, on the phone with us is Dr. John Brady. He is Clinical Associate Professor of Psychiatry at the Harvard Medical School. His new book is entitled Spark, the Revolutionary Science of Exercise and the Brain. And Dr. Brady is also Reebok's Ambassador for Active Kids. Dr. Brady, good to have you on.
Great to be here, and I get the benefit of it being able to walk and talk at the same time, so I'm primed.
Well, okay. Are you at one of those stand-up desks that we see coming into more and more places of employment right now, or what?
No, I have one, but I'm actually walking around with my phone here, so I'm able to do that, and it helps my brain get wired right and promotes my attention system to get to be more optimal.
Well, that is a perfect jump into the topic then, if you could, Dr. Brady. What is the scientific premise behind this whole kinetic thing of moving bodies and moving minds all at the same time?
Right. Well, I think what we know is that when we're using our muscles in our body, and in this case, standing up even, ignites our large skeletal muscles and our core muscles, and then when we move a little bit with that, we're causing those to move even more. And this has a reciprocal relationship to our brain, because that's the director, right? And so this turns on and causes changes in our brain environment, releasing these neurotransmitters and growth factors and all kinds of good stuff that make the brain work better, actually closer to optimal, by releasing the same neurotransmitters that we aim at in psychiatry with some of the drugs that we use, like the stimulants, Ritalin and Dexedrine and Adderall, and even our newer antidepressants, the Prozac-type drugs, because we released acutely as we're moving or as we're standing even, because we're using more of our muscles, the neurotransmitters that these drugs work on to increase their concentration in the brain. So we're doing that. So it's a little bit of exercise is like taking a little bit of Ritalin and a little bit of Prozac.
Okay, so what you're doing then is actually impacting the brain chemistry when you are involved in some kind of physical activity. And these are the good brain chemicals that help us do things like concentrate and become more receptive to stimulus, which includes information.
Exactly. We're more focused. We're more motivated. We're less impulsive. We're less fidgety in general. And our brain is more focused and is ready to power through stuff that we might avoid in the past.
Okay. Mike Higgins, what's your connection to this whole thing? How did you get involved in this kinetic learning thing?
Well, mine came based off my experience growing up. I was a struggling student all the way through Catholic school, and I too had some experiences with the overzealous nuns many times in catechism where I would – in religion class, I forgot to do an assignment or something. They would take away phys ed. So I would have to sit and do extra work during phys ed time. And I just felt that I needed athletics. I needed those classes. And when I got into high school, I realized that I was struggling, but I had a support group, all my coaches. I played sports at St. Thomas Aquinas in Fort Lauderdale, played both football and baseball. And many of my teachers were coaches, and I just felt like they had an understanding that, you know, they knew me, where many of my other teachers just – I didn't get a, you know, good feeling with them. And I struggled in most of my classes, but I was able to maintain the 2.0 that I needed to compete. But where it really came into effect, I accepted a baseball scholarship to a community college. And when I got into college, I was – so far behind, I could not do the practice time, and when I was in the classroom environment, I could not focus. And what happened, I lost my scholarship, and I ended up failing out of college. And I think the values that I gained at St. Thomas, that never, never quit attitude, allowed me to go back and find a way to learn. And of course, in the 70s, you didn't hear the terms ADD, ADHD. No cell phones, no internet. So I kind of had to find a way for myself to learn. And at the time, what I really enjoyed doing was working out. So I ended up going back to school. I brought my books to the gym, and I would lift weights, and I'd start my homework. And then I really realized when I got to the stationary bikes and the treadmills, I could not I understood the information much better. And to make a long story short, I instead of going to the library after school, I went to the gym, and I would set up everything based around a treadmill and a stationary bike.
So that was your study time then, was while you were actually working out?
Yes.
And what was the difference in studying while working out and studying like just sacked out in the library?
Well, it was a very long process. What happened was my football coach at St. Thomas was able to find me a job at a Catholic school where I didn't have to teach with a degree. So I was at this school for 17 years. And I became quite masterful at avoiding going back to school, or I'd take a class here and there, and I was able to stay employed. Well, after that 17-year period, I was told that, if I didn't get a degree, I'd lose my job. So that's when the pressure really, to make a long story short, I started college in 1980, and I graduated in 2001. So the 7-year plan was basically a semester for me.
Well, seeing as how we're talking about your early years there at St. Thomas Aquinas High School, we got an email here from Ed Waters. I think you you know that name.
He says, Waters, yes.
Yep. He says, as a former teacher, coach, and lifelong friend of yours, Mike, he'd first like to congratulate you on this very important project that you've dedicated yourself to. And he wanted to know, when did you realize that this was something that you had to pursue, that this was something that you really, you know, needed to do?
I would say when I lost my job, I was able to pick up another job at a local school based off – well, not based off the same agreement, but they put me on a contract and they said, well, if you are in school and we, you know, every semester turn in your grades and we just want to make sure you're making progress. At that time, I knew the pressure was on and I had to find a way for myself to learn. And that's when I developed this method of moving and learning in the gym. And it was almost – instantaneous. When I got on the treadmills and bikes, I just felt comfortable to where I was retaining the information. And from that point on, I did very well. I ended up doing very well to the point I went back to school and I got a master's degree in educational leadership using the same method. And even today, to this point, I don't. If I have to learn something, I will not do it unless I'm walking or riding a bike.
Okay, I want to find out what the connection is here with Dr. Pravat and what she is going to be doing in conjunction with you down at the charter school in Coral Springs in just a moment. And we also want to talk some more with Dr. John Rady up at the Harvard Medical School about some of the basis for the concept or the theory, if you will, that having an active body, keeping the body in motion, has a very positive impact also on the learning situation when it comes to being able to absorb and retain more information, perhaps even resulting in improved test scores, since that seems to be a major mantra of our contemporary educational system. That's all coming up on Perspectives, along with your input too. 414-1234, 800-926-8809, and we'll be right back. On Perspectives, kinetic learning, moving bodies, moving minds, 414-1234-800-926-8809. Bill joins the conversation here on line one. Let's check in with him. Hey, Bill.
Hey, how are you?
Hey, we're doing well. Thanks for calling.
Great. Listen, this really sounds like a theory a friend of mine in Pittsburgh, who is a principal at a public school in Pittsburgh, did as her thesis. And the theory, I think she said it was something called biomonism. And I was wondering whether either of your guests had heard of this theory. And essentially it says that a healthy body indicates also a healthy mind, or an optimal body indicates an optimal mind.
Biomonism. Let's run that by Dr. John Rady first. Have you heard of that, sir?
No, I haven't heard of that term, but that's from Plato, by the way. A healthy body and a healthy mind is the way to, that humans can achieve perfection. But the Greeks were all over this and knew that there was a connection, and we sort of intuitively know this. But now we have the science, and that's what I presented in my book, that Spark, that really talks to the science of what we know. And the Mayo Clinic just reviewed 1,600 medical papers, scientific papers, looking at the effect of exercise on cognition, which means learning and memory and performance, finding them all positive. And those were done usually within, most of them were done since 1995, when this whole movement and the brain began to really catch fire as we learn more and more about our brains.
Well, if we're going all the way back to Plato and the early Greeks who seemed to just naturally have incorporated this whole holistic, if you will, attitude into their learning situation, how did we get away from it? It seems almost intuitive that, oh, gosh, a healthy body, healthy mind, all that, and yet we compartmentalized it somewhere along the way. How did that happen?
I think we made too much of the split, of the mind-body split, with Descartes, you know, and others in ages gone. But and I think what we have really had the problem with is in the past 40 years, our work, our lives are so easy, and we've become such a sedentary world. That we're not moving like we used to. So even before the 40 years ago, most of us would have been moving a lot more in general and a lot more fit, and we wouldn't have this obesity crisis and all that. But we're not doing that. Everything's so easy for us, relatively speaking, and we have all these what I call our cyber slaves, not only to do things for us, and but to entertain us, and we don't have to be an agent nearly as much as we used to be.
I can even see that at some schools right now where they're desperately attempting to make their classrooms cyber-free zones, to the extent of one local school's even experimenting with some kind of a blocking technology to keep any kind of radio frequency or internet connection, you know, out of the classroom so the kids could concentrate on. Dr. Pravat, how did you get involved with this whole thing with Mike Higgins? How did you kind of get, you know, sucked into this whole thing here?
Well, Tom, I'm kind of the science behind this. First, my specialty is ADHD, so I'm interested in the topic. We've long known that those with ADHD can't sit still and focus. But I'm a bike rider, and for years I've been riding bikes with Mike's sister, and we got to talking about this, and she hooked me up with Mike, and he has a great idea. But a lot of people have great ideas. You need to study them scientifically, do experiments to be able to say with any certainty that what you're doing works as opposed to something else. So he brought me in to develop and implement and then help him run the actual experiment that will show whether what he's doing is working.
So this is going to be the bringing the scientific method to bear on it. You'll have control groups and double blind, all this kind of thing then?
Exactly. You hit the nail on the head. In order to do a scientific experiment, you have to have something called randomized control study. So one, you have to have a control group who's not getting this, and you have to randomly assign people, and then you have to test them before and test them after. So we're doing all of those things. And we've been pre-testing all fall, working the kinks out, and the actual study just started this week, and it'll go for about 11 weeks. That'll be the first phase, and then we'll look at a variety of different things later on.
So how does this all work, Mike? How did you put this together? And is it just a small group down here at the Coral Springs Charter School, or the entire school's involved, or what?
Correct. We've got a great principal, very innovative, interested in all this stuff, and he happens to be a very good friend of mine. His name is Gary Springer, and he's been involved with me based off what he's seen my growth as not only a professional but academically as well. And he's helped facilitate the study, make it possible to do it. I've been doing it as an after-school program the past 3 years, but we've seen really great gains with these students as far as an after-school program. So he's been able to work it out to where we can do the study in school in a math class. So I have partnered with a group called Fit Desk, and they sent me 15 bike desks where students can ride a bike, write, listen, and it's just a regular math class, and half the class is on these bike desks while the other class are sitting, the other half is sitting at a regular school desk. And I believe Dr. Pravat, after 1 month, I think we switch?
Yes. You have some ethics involved when you're working in the schools. You can't just give the positive thing, whatever that is, to half the kids. So all the kids will eventually get to be part of the exercise group. So first we start with half of them randomly assigned to sit in the desks. We measure them. We give them 4 to 5 weeks. Then we flip it and look at it the other way. And by doing that, we'll know, well, does this maybe just have to do with the teacher or being after school or the clothes they're wearing or something else? We're controlling for all of those things in this experiment. So very tight controls on everything else that goes on so that the only thing that's different is them exercising in the classroom while they're doing math.
The question I can hear even teachers saying, though, isn't that distracting that you've got, you know, these kids churning away on these bikes while the teacher's up there trying to give them directions and instructions or lecturing or handing out papers or whatever else?
Well, actually, these fit desks are very quiet. They're state-of-the-art, and it's not like a bike chain type. I don't know the actual construction of a bike, but there's very little noise and very little distraction. So I really don't see any problems with, you know, as far as that goes.
Okay. Dr. Rady, when it comes, though, to things like multitasking, I mean, some of us are better at this than others. And when I'm in a competitive or a repetitive exercise situation, it's kind of easy for me to zone out and concentrate more on, okay, how am I feeling or the number of reps that I'm doing or that sort of thing. And I'm wondering how much room is there to really concentrate on learning something else when you're preoccupied with the physical activity?
Well, that's the great thing about something like the fit desk or the standing desk even, which does increase your muscle activity, or the tread desk or any of these new things that we're just learning about. It doesn't take a lot of brain energy or brain power away from what the target is. In fact, what it does is that it boosts the attention system immediately, because you're getting a little bit of Ritalin, if you will, holistically, to turn your attention system on and make you a better learner. At the same time, as we have our 100 billion nerve cells more engaged when we're moving than in any other situation, you're releasing factors. Brain factors, growth factors that support our brain cells to grow. And the bottom line in learning is to have our brain cells grow. And we make the optimal environment when we're moving or just after we've moved, if you're really intensely going at it. But if you're moving, you're using more brain cells, which activate the chemicals as well as the brain cells themselves to make us more primed to not only pay attention and take in the information, but to encode it and log it into the brain so that we can recall it in a later date.
The sales pitch, though, I can almost project is going to have to depend on the outcome of what Mike and Dr. Pravat are doing as far as the research is concerned. If you're going to go into the educational establishment, if you will, whether on the local level, at the school district level, or all the way to the State Department of Education, and they're most likely going to say, okay, but will it help FCAT scores? That is kind of primo. Absolutely. Bottom line. Is it going to help standardized test scores?
Yes, absolutely. And I think there's lots and lots of evidence to show that that happens. California has been testing 1 million kids a year, evaluating their level of fitness over the past 12 years now, and finding that there's the more fit the children are, the better their math and language test scores are. So it's a straight line graph every year, and it supports the notion that the more fit you are, the better learner you're going to be.
We're talking about the kinetic learning theory, which is in the process of undergoing scientific review, as we hear. That was Dr. John Rady from the Harvard Medical School, who is one of our guests here on Perspectives this morning, along with Mike Higgins, who is with the Coral Springs Charter School, where the Kinetic Learning Academy is set up, and Dr. Francis from over at Florida State University is going to be working with him to prove the efficacy of that whole concept with a study that is just now getting underway. Okay, what about the epidemic now we have of obesity and childhood diabetes and all of this other kind of thing? Is that like an ancillary benefit to this too, Mike, that it could help to reduce that stuff?
You took the words out of my mouth. Absolutely. I've approached this from just based off my own personal experience, just what it did to me, how I felt just extremely comfortable. I even got to the point where I applied for a patent based off the methodology, just because when I started on the bikes, on the treadmills, I knew right away that I was gaining the information. I was able to retain it, where I could sit in a desk, read a book, and not be able to tell you anything about that book after I read the book. So I knew something was working. I didn't know what, how. I had no scientific information. But yes, I believe working both together with the brain and the body, of absolutely, we're going to see kids in shape. We're going to see – I did a study with my football players, my linemen. And what we did, this was 4 years ago, when I actually became the head football coach, I was excited about this. I did an 8-week study with these kids, and we did SAT prep class. And for 8 weeks, they learned the same material over and over again. And we saw anywhere from 80 to 100 points improvement from their PSAT to the actual SAT score. So yes, I do believe that. And we also saw one of my linemen was taken off blood pressure medicine because he lost 35 pounds. So we, you know, the ones that were really obese, they lost weight a lot quicker than the ones that were a little thinner and a little more leaner. But yes, I think we're going to see some great results on that end as well.
414-1234, the local number for Perspectives. It's 800-926-8809. If it's long distance, Perspectives at WFSU.org. And Reed is on line one, giving us a ring this morning. Hey, Reed.
Hey, Tom. How are you this morning,
son? Hey, Happy New Year, son.
Happy New Year to you, my friend. You know, and I don't want to sound like I'm making a bad pun here, Tom, but this sounds like a no-brainer to me. I mean, there have been a lot of studies that have shown over the years that physical activity and the mental prowess are connected. I'm curious, in terms of practical application, how will the classroom there in Coral Gables, I think you said, be set up? What will the students actually be doing? I assume they're not going to be playing basketball while they're getting their geometry lessons, but I'm curious as to how this kinetic energy will be fostered.
Oh, okay. And Mike, you were talking there about the bike desk, really, a combination of a stationary bike and a school desk.
And a school desk. Yep. They can actually, they'll be taking a regular math class, just like any other math class. The only difference is they'll be pedaling a bike.
Okay. And we're also, Reed, going to have a picture of that on WFSU.org, too. We'll be posting that along with the playback here for this particular Perspectives program. It's a fascinating looking thing. I want one in my office is what I want. I think that would be really, really cool. Dr. Pravati, since your ADHD, adult ADHD, is kind of your bailiwick, is there some application here, too, some connection between not only having younger people more fit and ready to absorb information, but also help adults who have problems like, you know, Mike has had?
Oh, absolutely. In fact, a news story came out about this, I think it was about a month ago, in a newspaper, and I got a call from somebody at the athletic department at FSU saying, hey, can we start trying some of this also? They're very interested in doing this. So there are a lot of applications for college students, too.
Okay, or even I'm thinking in the workplace, referencing again one of our folks in the newsroom who works standing up, but are Leon School District Foundation. Actually, it's sort of an interesting thing. The Foundation for Leon County Schools? Mm-hmm. I think that's what it is. Sheila Costigan, who is the head there, she was remarking the other day that she is aware of some folks, even within the school district, who are deeply involved in both education and phys ed, who themselves are out of shape, and it's driving her crazy because, you know, all they do is sit and snack all day. And how do we get them more engaged in the work process?
One of the chapters in my book is just devoted to workers in the workplace. And common suggestions for them is to take breaks at least part of every hour. Never take the elevator. Take the stairs. Go walk around the parking lot. Get outside at lunch. Do something. If you have ADHD, you cannot just sit still all day long. So, yes, it's been long known that exercise will help with that.
Okay. Lisa is online, too, giving us a call on perspectives. I'll tell you what. We're coming up on break time. We want to give you full opportunity to talk about your question or your concern, Lisa. So you hang on for just a few moments. Again, we're talking about kinetic learning. There is a study that is going to be set up with Mike Higgins and Florida State University's Dr. Francis Pravat down at the Coral Springs Charter School before actually underway right now and will be going on for some 11 weeks. Also on the phone with us is Dr. John Rady, Clinical Associate Professor of Psychiatry at the Harvard Medical School, who's been very involved in this kind of situation too, connecting active bodies and more active minds in a lovely synergistic dance, if I can use that terminology. We'll be right back here on Perspectives. Just getting back from a brief run around the station here as we try to keep our minds and bodies moving simultaneously here in Perspectives. Kinetic learning is what we're talking about, and Lisa is joining us here online too. Hey, Lisa.
Hi. First of all, love the show. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you.
Second thing is I've been using a standing workstation for about 2 years, and I did it because I found the more I sat, the more I sat. I'm at a computer all day. By the end of the week, my back would be killing me. Don't have those issues anymore. Last year, I got a Trek desk. I saw it online and was fascinated with it, and got a Trek desk, got a treadmill to go with it, and use that for about 6 weeks at work until it was decided that it was too big a liability to have it at work, but I'm still collecting information to appeal, and because so many companies across the country actually have treadmills under desks and all kinds of industries. So after about 6 weeks, I had to take it out, but I had lost 5 pounds, immediately felt inches coming off. And I'm overweight, but I'm not that overweight. But I only walked at like half a mile an hour, a mile an hour. I'd burn about 400 calories a day. It was excellent. So I'm back to a standing workstation now. And I do have one of those peddlers that I put under my desk, but I don't use it as much as I should. But I can't say enough about the standing workstation. You do stay more alert. You don't feel that 4 o'clock drop. And it's just been great.
Oh, wow. That's a wonderful story, Lisa. Any way to quantify the, you know, increase in productivity or anything? Because the bosses are going to be really interested in that. Yeah, you feel better. But fine, big deal. We could care. What's it doing to your work?
Falling asleep at your desk, you're working more. But my energy level's higher, and I'm more apt to move around, go do something I need to do, that kind of thing. So it's not a distraction. And luckily, the way I did it, it was gradual. I went from sitting to standing to walking. And it took a little while to get used to the walking. But after a while, it became like this rhythm that was almost hypnotic. And it was nice. it lowered stress and all that kind of stuff. So some people still go by and stare at me. A couple of people at work actually changed the way they work and noticed a difference, both for like acid reflux and back problems and neck problems. And so, you know, we need to let people work in a way that makes them the most productive and makes them feel the best, because if you feel better, you work better. So I can't say enough about it. Now when I go wait in a line somewhere or something like that, I don't even notice it. I don't notice how long I stand anymore.
Boy, that is a remarkable story. Thanks for sharing that, Lisa.
Thank
Appreciate it.
Thank you, Tom. Bye-bye.
And hopefully, you know, the Working Well Tallahassee folks, Mary Barley and those guys are listening to that, too, and maybe can put some additional, shall we say, incentives out there for participating businesses and agencies and all that to consider the idea of stand-up workstations and even, you know, small, unobtrusive exercise-type devices there in the workplace. Mike Higgins, about those, again, back to those combinations, stationary bikes and school desks that you're going to have down there. Does that take up much more room than a regular school desk?
No, absolutely not. We were actually trying – that was one of our big problems. We were trying to figure out how we were going to do – work this out. We were looking at recumbent bikes and putting a school desk top on it, and it just it didn't work out. The bike was too big, and it just – a couple – nights later, I got a call about something that was on Fox News, which was about these fit desks. And the CEO, Ryan Moore, I connected with him on the phone, and I asked him questions about that. How would that work in the school environment? Because that's what they do. They target corporate offices. And he said it would work out great. So I asked him, send me the desks. He did. And they're probably a little bit smaller than an actual school desk. So yeah, I think it's going to work out great. Also, what I wanted to add, what we do is in the very beginning, they'll move at a pretty good speed, but they taper down to where they're just barely moving their feet. So it's just a very slow pace throughout the actual class. So it's not like they're doing spinning during class.
Okay, yeah. I've seen a couple of places even here in town that have stationary bikes, and some people get on. I mean, they're just rocking it.
Right.
And you think, gee, that could potentially be a distraction. Well, Dr. Francis, what about the measurements? What are you guys trying to get from all of this to come up with a convincing case if, in fact, the research backs it up that this is a good thing?
Tom, we really are hoping that we'll find effects in three different areas. Of course, we're going to look at achievement, so we'll be having math scores, which would be good for the schools. They'll be directly related to FCAT. We're looking at fitness, so we're actually doing body mass index measurements. And then we're looking at behavior also. We'll do discipline referrals. In this school, the discipline referrals go to the vice principal. So we'll be checking in and tracking every single day the number of discipline referrals and anticipating that they won't be getting in trouble because they'll be busy and occupied and interested in the lesson. So we're hoping in all three of those areas to see positive effects.
Oh, by the way, if you're following us here on Twitter, you can ask your questions on Twitter at WFSU Perspective, that is without the S, although the program is called Perspectives. This is WFSU Perspective is our Twitter handle there, and you can follow us that way. Dr. Rady, bottom line, how if this would become more pervasive, if you even had a quarter of the school districts in the United States adopting this kind of a regimen for students, what would it do, bottom line?
Well, here's what we've done. And when we go into school and we change the dynamics and have the exercise become part of the day, the daily beat of learning, the first thing that happens is a drop in discipline problems, discipline referrals. And it's quite dramatic, especially if it's a difficult school and a difficult group of kids. We've seen as much as an 83% drop in the first 4 months where we add an hour of or 40 minutes of exercise in the morning, 83% drop in discipline referrals in the first 4 months. This occurs in schools in the suburbs and in the inner city. And the second thing we see is an improvement in attendance and a drop in tardiness, because kids want to come to school and move. And if they had these kinds of fit desks around or spend more time in physical education that has everybody involved, you're going to see those two parameters be affected immediately. And then you're going to see teacher satisfaction go up, student satisfaction go up, test scores, grades, and in general, more motivated, interested students and teachers. So it's a win-win-win all around.
Yeah, looking on the physical side of things, in a part of the country that now has close to a one-third incidence of obesity on the part of young people and an absolutely exploding epidemic of type 2 diabetes, which is related to overweight and improper amounts of exercise and nutritious foods and all that, Mike, you think that's going to have an impact there too?
Absolutely. Like I said, I definitely think there's an ancillary effect on that section. But my main focus when I got involved with this was just based on what I felt like it did chemically inside the brain, and just from my own experience. I felt much better. I felt much more relaxed. And like I said, I don't know the science behind it. I didn't know at the time, but I did know it did something really – really nice, and it improved my grades, and I went from failing to actually doing very well in school.
Well, let's bring this back here to what we're doing as far as this study is concerned here with Dr. Pravat. How is this different, since it seems as though we already have a preponderance of scientific and anecdotal evidence that says, boy, this is a great thing? How is your study going to differentiate mm-hmm. from that?
Great question, Tom. We're really building on the work that Dr. Rady has been doing over all these years. And what we're doing differently is this exercise is at the same time that the students are having a lesson. So you can really incorporate it into the school day. It doesn't have to be an add-on. You don't have to do something different. It's at the same time. So that'll be exciting to see how well that works.
Okay. Is this going to stand everything on its head, though, that, you know, after class, it'll be time for recess and the kids will go and, you know, flop down because, you know, we're too tired. We can't play. Are you kidding? We've been pedaling for the past 50 minutes.
Mike, I'll let you handle that.
No, I don't believe so. I honestly think our bodies were made to move. And like I said earlier, they're not moving at a very fast pace. It's a very long, slow distance, pedaling at a very comfortable speed. And we'll mix in certain times where they can go ahead and blow it out a little bit, maybe 80% of their maximum speed for, say, 30 seconds. But other than that, it's just like taking a long, slow stroll.
Yeah, but it's so much harder to, you know, have the time or the inclination to do spitballs when you're doing that. Again, we're back to that discipline type of situation, and it's kind of a natural thing. You don't have to worry about that as much.
Yes, and I was the one throwing the spitballs, and if I really felt if I had something like that to keep me busy, it's just a natural form to a natural way to expel the energy that's in. I do have ADD, and as you can see, I can't really sit still right now. But if I had something like that where I could move a little bit, it would certainly have affected me much earlier in my life.
And Dr. John Rady, does this get us back to really a more, I guess, natural way of approaching life, recalling that at one time most of the labor in this country was of a physical nature, and even though there was a higher incidence of on-the-job accidents pre-OSHA and DEP and all that sort of thing, that you still didn't have the incidence of heart disease, some forms of cancer, and other things, because people had to be more physically fit because that was part of their job.
Exactly. And we have a new category in medicine called sedentaryism that relates to our lifestyle changes and our lack of activity. And of the top 10 killers in the U.S., eight of them are directly caused by our change in lifestyle, which includes, of course, our change in diet, but mainly our sedentary lives. that we have that promote all the heart disease, diabetes, obesity, Alzheimer's, all those disorders that are caused or either directly or influenced, including many of the cancers, influenced by our sedentary lifestyle. So this is a beginning, and once the kids sort of grok it, once they understand that moving helps them perform better, helps them take in information better, helps them regulate their emotions better, we're going to have a different kind of Generation Z, or whatever the current handle is for this generation. We're going to have kids that know that moving is part of life, and that it doesn't take away energy, it actually adds energy to the mix.
Yeah, it sounds like it is potentially a transformative thing when it comes to not just education, but also society at large. Mike, do you see it that way?
I do. Like I said, I can only base it off my own life, and I feel like if I did not find this method, I would have been in trouble. I was one of those students that if I didn't find a way to learn, I would have gone the other route, and I would have done something that may have ended me up in jail. And I just feel like it was life-changing for me, and I can only speak from my own experience. But not only that, since I got in – I'm the athletic director at Coral Springs Charter. I've tested my athletes. I was a dean of students for 10 years. I saw many students come through my door. I call them my clientele because many times I saw the same student over and over again. And I basically saw myself in them. And I just felt like, okay, I've got to do something. I've got to implement this. And, you know, I've been doing it as a pilot now for 3 years, and I've seen great results. However, you know, it doesn't mean anything without the actual university study, and that's why I feel really blessed to have both Dr. Pravat and Dr. Rady in my life right now.
Well, the proof is in the pudding, and Dr. Pravat, you're kind of the pudding mistress when it comes to at least this study down there at Coral Springs. What happens to the study once it's done, regardless of how it comes out? Where does it go from there?
Well, we would hope to publish it in a refereed journal. We would hope to be talking about it at conferences. And we'd hope to get it out to the public. Maybe we'll come back on your show.
Okay, that would be great. And I also think that there's a certain group that meets at least once a year down there at that big white building in downtown Tallahassee. Mm-hmm. Maybe, you know, some copies of that could, you know, wind up there at some point, you know, at one of those education committee meetings. Be something there for perhaps lawmakers to mull over as they deliberate the future of education in the Sunshine State. We could talk about this for a long, long time, but Dr. John Rady, thank you so much for joining us here on Perspectives today, and we'll give you a moment here to share any final thoughts with us as far as your recommendations for not just the kids, but also us grown-ups who perhaps have become a little bit afflicted with that sedentarianism that you just talked about.
Remember, I wish everybody to remember that we still carry the hunter-gatherer genes. It's only been 10,000 years that we've come off the plains and savannas, and those guys and gals moved on average 10 to 14 miles a day, and we're certainly nowhere near that. Even if we do our 10,000 steps, that's only about 4 miles. So we're made to move, and we're not doing it, and the moving brain evolved into our thinking and learning brain. And if people begin to understand that, the school system and people in general, I think the world will have a different view of what it means to move and exercise and play and have fun at it and be more active and better emotionally regulated and all the many, many benefits of exercise.
Okay, Dr. Francis Pravat, who's doing the study, any final thoughts from you, man?
Looking forward to doing then the next studies to find out who this works for and what level of intensity and what subjects. So I think this will be a long process.
Okay, and we'll wrap things up here with Mike Higgins from the Kinetic Learning Academy down there at the Coral Springs Charter School. Boy, this sounds like this is about your life's work now, in addition to being athletic director down there.
Yes. When I attended school at St. Thomas, I think I held two records. One was the longest punt return for a little while, and the other one was probably the lowest SAT score, and I think that probably still stands. I'm committed to changing the culture in this country. I really, based off my own life, I really feel like we need to look at things like the perfect classroom to me would be these types of desks, exercise balls, more, it would look more like a gym. And I just, you know, I'm very committed to that.
Well, folks, and you've also motivated me to, as soon as we get out of here today, I'm going to go and, you know, go running around Innovation Park for a little bit before I come back on deck. To all three of you, thanks so much for coming on Perspectives, and all the best with the study. And again, thanks for coming on and sharing all that with us here today. Perspectives produced by WFSU-FM in Tallahassee. Technical assistance by Taylor Cox, Lydell Rawls on the phone. Stephen Rodriguez doing his thing there on Twitter and keeping you up to date on that. And thanks also to Trish Higgins-Karowski for helping to put all this together today. Next week, how can you forgive the person who murdered your child? The inspiring story of two families and restorative justice next week.
Calling 1-800-829-8809, extension 358. Log on to WFSU.org for online archives and podcast. Perspectives is a production of 88.9 WFSU-FM, Tallahassee.